Good morning, and welcome to the City of Toronto Accessibility Day of Celebration, a city that believes in planning for full inclusion. So today I would like you to think about the digital divide. What is it? What are the barriers, and how can we close that digital divide? I'd like to thank you for that introduction. It was a great overview. I have been a long-time user of assistive technologies, and I do admit I am addicted to innovation technologies. As an IT specialist, in supporting software developers with accessibility challenges, I admit that my roots do go back to the dinosaur days of punch cards and mainframe computers. And as an advocate, I support many groups with accessibility challenges and best practices. And I do admit that I do get grumpy when I cannot access facilities and services. However, today I want to speak to you on behalf of the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians, a grassroots organization advocating for greater accessibility and inclusion for blind, deafblind, and low-vision Canadians. Closing the digital divide starts with our leadership, and it goes down through to the management, and then finally filters out to all of us normal people. Peter Drucker, a founder authority on successful business principles, believed that leaders must lead with purpose to balance the two opposing forces within organizations. Management that want to do things right, that is, improving operational performance, maximizing revenues, and minimizing expenses, while leaders want to do the right things, setting organizational priorities and allocating human and financial resources to fulfill the organization's vision. So, the accessibility gap between the leadership understanding of accessibility and the management implementation of accessibility often creates a digital divide in marginalizing us normal people. Despite goodwill and best intentions, leaders often make decisions based on perceptions of bias and misleading information, and management far too often do not have the resources or skills to implement the leadership expectations. As a result, Canadians living with vision loss are marginalized in society due to an ever-widening digital divide. Steve Jobs once said, "Do what you love. Passion is everything." Jobs was not passionate about computers. He was passionate about building tools to help people unleash their potential. In one of his last talks, he said, "It's the intersection of technology and liberal arts that makes our hearts sing." Ronald Reagan once said, "The greatest leader is not necessarily the one who does the greatest things. He is the one that gets people to do the greatest things." Reagan believed in leading with inspiration. So we need to get our leaders to lead with purpose, passion, and inspiration. To do this successfully, leaders must understand the two global trends that are driving the digital economy by seamlessly integrating machines and people. The first global trend to consider is the human evolution. People connecting together through vast social networks are closing the gap in cultural differences and levels of education. The second global trend to consider is the technology innovation evolution. Machines connected together through vast networks provide big data analytics and artificial intelligence for for economic growth. The push-pull effect on the two global trends on the digital divide is creating unintentional barriers with corporate ambitions of profit and service providers focus on delivery on one side of the divide and marginalized citizens and policymakers on the other side of the digital divide. So societal inclusion is not just about enabling technologies and accessible services, but rather should be more about effective design around real life experiences. So how do we bridge the digital divide? Well, design is all around us, but for the most part, it reflects the perception of the designer. And if the product or service fails your need, then the design concepts are flawed. That is, design is the bridge that overcomes barriers between the delivery of information and the understanding knowledge that impacts life decisions. What are some of the digital divide barriers to consider? Well, first, consider productivity. Productivity that enables employees to be productive and satisfied. Second is inclusion. Inclusion that integrates people, products, and services. And third, the communication barriers. Communications that informs people, builds knowledge, and creates confidence. To help create a barrier-free society, governments around the world over the past few decades have been implementing accessibility standards based on four core principles: dignity, independence, integration, and equality. So how do we remove these barriers to close the digital divide? The digital communications divide that is marginalizing us normal people from the economic prosperity in Canada is an inflexible systemic paradigm that needs new ideals with flexible leadership. Artificial intelligence is revolutionizing our lives by seamlessly merging people and machines. And recent significant milestones show that AI can most certainly improve the lives of people with disabilities. For example, the Facebook automatic alternative text generator for images, the Apple iOS facial recognition, Google Neural Machine translation for websites, and the Microsoft Seeing AI mobile app for identifying environmental objects. So going forward, the human and machine integration will be built upon three innovation design structures. Design will be less about disability, but more about human behavior. The first design structure that it will be based on is transparent interfaces. User interface design will focus on developing systems that can adapt to user behavior instead of adapting human behavior to the system. The second design structure is based on ubiquitous access. The cloud architecture will be tailored to the particular needs of individual internet consumers. And third design structure will be based on adaptive levels of engagement. Going forward, future contextual capabilities will interact with new levels of engagement through vision, hearing, and tactile features. So let's have a quick look at the four digital divide principles and consider some real life experiences. The first digital divide to bridge is dignity, the sense of pride and self-respect. We need to close the digital divide going from information delivery to decision-making knowledge. That is, knowledge is power. The barriers to consider here are message delivery and bias attitudes through things like access models, mode of understanding, and knowledge management. Designing for dignity means designing functional product and services with features that allow people to perceive their environment and make decisions. That is, a visual person entering a dark room will be disoriented. But handed a flashlight, that person will be able to probe the room and build a virtual environment of that room within their mind. Rooms designed with audible and tactile features will also allow blind people, using assistive technologies, to probe the room and build a virtual environment of that room in their mind. Likewise, people probe internet services to find and access information, to understand content and gain knowledge to make smart decisions. A few years ago, the Ontario Power Authority decided to launch a program to install smart thermostats into the homes across Ontario to encourage energy conservation. The installer came to my home, and after about an hour of fiddling around, he announced to me that the smart thermostat was now ready to use. I put my finger on the screen, swiped it across, and nothing appeared to happen. So I asked him, "How do I use it?" And he said simply, "I only install them, I don't design them." So after a year-long effort of numerous phone calls and emails and getting very grumpy, I finally convinced the leaders and decision makers that their accessibility consultants were feeding them inaccurate and misleading information, as there are alternative devices on the market that I could use in my home. To my delight, they agreed, and they came and they took the not-so-smart smart thermostat out and installed one that I could use with my iPhone through the voiceover speech output. The second digital divide to consider is independence, free from the control of others and self-governing. The digital divide to be closed here is going from accessibility to usability. That is, usability is enabling. The digital divide barriers to consider are design standards and government regulations, such as perceptions, myths, and experiences. Designing for independence means that assuming you have access to the information and understand the options, can you independently act upon your decision, or are you dependent on another human for assistance? A sighted person crossing the street will first look at the stoplight, while a blind person may listen for traffic movement, search for an audible signal button, or ask for assistance. But in both cases, the individuals are able to make a decision and are quite capable of walking across the street on their own power. Likewise, internet services must be designed for independent use. GPS navigation and artificial intelligence are amazing technologies for people with disabilities. However, if the technology is not available to you or you cannot afford it, it is of very little value. A couple of years ago, I left my home in Niagara region to come to Toronto for a meeting. I got off the inner city bus on University, and standing at the curb, I got my Blind Square GPS app to order me an Uber ride to take me to my destination. I did not have to beg passersby to help me flag a taxi down. The driver took me to my destination, and I learned that I had about an hour to wait before my meeting. So I had a decision to make. I wait in the lobby for an hour, or I find a coffee shop. Stepping out onto the sidewalk and using my Blind Square GPS service, I'm able to see through buildings and learn that there was a coffee shop just around the corner. So walking down the street, around the corner, and into the coffee shop, I was able to make a decision and act on it independently. Going into the coffee shop, unfortunately, there were no indoor directional beacons to help find the counter, but people were most helpful. Once buying my coffee, I turned to go and find a table. However, I was grabbed in a big bear hug, and it was a delight to me to renew an old friendship with a friend that I had not seen in 10 years. That's the power of independence, being able to take opportunities and not miss out on things that may happen because you could not make a decision independently. It's amazing that we have advanced technologies like self-driving cars with loads of sensory devices in them. And yet, all of those sensory devices are not available to the disability community. Can you imagine sensors in my shoes, my shirt, my hat, my cane? I could become a self-driving human being. Augmented and virtual reality is now in its third and fourth generations, and yet we're still waiting to have technology implemented that's over 10 years old. GPS navigation and Bluetooth beacons are not new emerging technologies anymore, and yet we're still waiting. A good example is the Ryerson Student Center, a multi-million dollar building built by award-winning designers, and yet there is no GPS navigation service, there is no indoor directional beacon service to provide guidance. And likewise, the Toronto Transit Service does not have a smartphone navigation support service or beacons along subway platforms to provide guidance. The third digital divide is integration, a simulation into the social and economic fabric. The digital divide of integration means going from passive to active. That is, active is inclusive. Barriers to consider are inclusive dialogues and collaborative participation that involve innovation models, available programs, and affordable products. So, designing for integration means assuming you have access to the information and able to act independently upon your options. Are you an active participant or a passive observer? Government open and transparent processes encourage citizens to participate in online forums and on-site consultation sessions. But marginalized groups are not included in the mainstream dialogue. Service organizations often function as a facilitator for disabled people to accommodate government communication processes as the voice of their constituents. Is accommodating the same as integrating? A few years ago, the Ontario government established the Ontario Digital Service Office, and shortly after, the Canadian Treasury Board Secretariat established the Canadian Digital Service to design, develop, and implement government digital services. However, with both organizations, the blind, deafblind, and low-vision Canadians are still waiting for an invitation to participate in the design and development of those digital services. Also, government funding processes are complicated and inaccessible to blind people. In the past year, our group submitted an application for funding to the federal government employment services, who were offering funding grants to nonprofit organizations to help build infrastructures that would provide support for disabled Canadians. Upon getting the grant, I notified the office that the PDF documents were not screen reader accessible. I did not get a response. Filling out the application and submitting it, we were disappointed that we were rejected because of two challenges. First, we were told that the application had missing information. So I contacted the office to open a dialogue on the challenges of accessibility in using a screen reader with PDF documents that are not formatted properly. I was told that their accessibility consultants would consider the problem and that we could try again next time. The second criteria that we failed on was the government's definition of disability lived experiences. The Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians has 7 people on the National Board of Directors. Every one of them live with some degree of vision and hearing loss. With more than a century of disability lived experiences, we failed the criteria of the government's definition of disability lived experiences. What their definition is, I do not know, because they would not enter into a dialogue with me. So finally, the fourth digital divide is equality. Social justice and equal opportunities to achieve wealth and power in one's life. The digital divide to consider is going from chaos to stability. That is, stability is satisfaction. The digital divide barriers to consider are collaborative processes and top-down innovation. Consider things like attitude, policies, and behaviors. Designing for equality means bridging the gap between leaders and managers. Bridging the digital divide between leadership understanding of accessibility and management implementation of accessibility is often the battleground of employment policies and real-life experiences. Do diversity, inclusion, and accommodation programs equalize the workplace for disabled employees? Is separate but equal acceptable? Should accessibility barriers be the causality of job dismissal? Over the past few years, I have talked to numerous people with disabilities and have learned about a great deal of frustration and anger due to the digital transformation. Many people with vision loss have been shifted out of their career of choice or have been dismissed from their job, mainly because the technology transformation that was taking place in the workplace was not accessible to screen readers and other assistive technologies. I have personally experienced the trauma of being caught between leadership diversity ideals and management reality of profits. In the 1990s, I was forced out of the PC software development environment into the mainframe MVS development environment because of the introduction of the graphical user interface. At that time, the department made the decision to transition from the DOS development to the IBM OS2 graphical user interface development environment. And at that time, screen readers were not capable of dealing with graphics. Making workplace transitions can be extremely traumatizing for those disabled individuals that do not have proper support and do not understand the emerging technologies of the day. And conflict raises between the individual and managers that have to deal with a very difficult situation. As we have transitioned from the industrial labor-based economy to the digital knowledge-based economy, blind Canadians have been pushed aside with the promise of better days ahead. We have shifted from 80% employment in the 1970s to 80% unemployment in 2019. However, Helen Keller once said, "One can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar." And I, for one, cannot consent to creep. So in conclusion, leaders and managers out there in nowhere land, get with the program and include us normal people in your design and development of products and services. We need to integrate smart city principles through greater levels of engagement, collaboration, and experimentation by including people with disabilities at the design and development level. Using a universal design model, you can bridge the digital divide. You can remove the real-life barriers by integrating multiple means of representation, multiple means of expression, and multiple means of engagement into your design process. So, let's now engage in an open and inclusive dialogue, and I invite you to ask questions, and please reach out to me at any time, or reach out to the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians, as there are members right across the country that want to engage you with your accessibility challenges. So thank you very much for your attention and all your commitment to accessibility.